good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Penny Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder in Hoak. Also, my taxpayer name, Wendy, is Robert Pilot. That's who you married, Robert Pilot. And my colonized name is also Robert Pilot. And we discuss Native issues and events here on Native Roots Radio. And as you all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. They partnered with the American Indian Cancer Society, and they're hosting a vaccine event on Friday, September 10th, which is 1 week from today, between 3 and 6 p.m., and it'll take place at the American Indian Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. So next Friday from 3 to 6 p.m., go get your vaccine.
Hey, no put down to Lewis, but you did a really good job. We missed you guys.
Truly missed you guys.
Yeah. Right. It was a great show, despite Lewis and I's attempt to make it a bad show. So thank you, Wendy.
Yeah, I'm sure it was just fine.
Yeah. Thank God we had Robert Lilligren on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But hey, so we do the news here, and Ogama here is our news specialist, and we want to get to her right away because we have a lot of news to talk about, and we have some great guests today. Ogama, why don't you tell us a little bit about the guests and jump into it?
Hey, Bushu. How are you doing? And I'm hearing on my end. Is there an echo on your end?
It just ended,
no,
it looked like.
No echo.
I didn't hear an echo, but, you know, your lighting's really good.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, Bushu, Anine, everybody, I'm Ogama Ganuikwe. I'm an enrolled member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. I'm really excited today, although, holy, I don't think I'd call myself a news specialist. Right now, it's kind of like trying to take a drink from a fire hose, is what those of us who've been following the Stop Line 3 events in Minnesota and what's happening with that are starting to feel like a little bit here. But with everything that's going on in the nation as a whole, weather-wise, I thought it was important to mention Robert and Wendy. I know you've got relatives over in New York. Have you heard from them and how they're doing after the flooding from Hurricane Ida in New York?
Yeah, so my family's in Nassau County, mostly my friends and family. It seems like New York City got hit really bad. The subways were inundated with a lot of water. And Queens, New York, and parts of New Jersey got hit really bad. We're just off to the west. So they did get lots and lots of rain. In fact, my sister and my friend said that they've never experienced monsoon type rain that came down so hard for so long ever in their life.
Yeah, it's Hurricane Ida has been really just what it came on the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, and the news that just came in from NativeNewsOnline.net, the United Houma Nation, or Houma Nation, which is based in Golden Meadow, Louisiana, has reported major devastation suffered during Hurricane Ida, and they've also reported deaths and multiple injuries. They know they have suffered deaths and injuries, but they don't have a count yet. They got hit with 150-mile-an-hour winds, and it's basically been called one of the most powerful hurricanes to ever hit the U.S. mainland. And it's like the pictures that are coming through are completely overturned homes, massive flooding, and the Houma Nation has a population of 19,000 tribal citizens spread over six parishes, and they're all located about 60 miles southwest of New Orleans, and all six parishes were hit by the hurricane. So I wanted to put up some prayers for our relatives there. I know that we've got relatives in Florida that are probably experiencing similar devastation. So as the East Coast and the southern eastern part of the United States are flooding, the western part of the United States is actually still suffering pretty heavily from fires. it's a good time to live in the central United States. I don't know. I'm just trying to make a joke out of something that's not funny, everybody. But the fact is that we've got this extreme weather on both coasts in the United States, and that's pretty terrifying. I don't know how you guys are feeling about that.
Oh, it's
it is getting it is terrifying, and it's horrible. You know, when Hurricane Sandy hit the East Coast a few years back, my sister and brother-in-law actually lost their house. Like, they had 9 feet of water in their house and actually lost their house. They did eventually fix it and sell it, but at a, you know, a very big loss. And that storm was, you know, one of, they said one in a century. That, and I just feel that these storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and are just going to be worse and worse and worse. So,
well, we have fires everywhere, and then up north, Wendy, in Ogma, they said that that fire won't go out and north until winter, mm-hmm. until the snow mm-hmm. hits the ground.
3 weeks ago, I was in New York, and Henry hit the East Coast as well. So that was another hurricane that hit the East Coast. It was pretty minor, but again, lots of damage.
Plus, we can't forget the ice glaciers melting in the north at record mm-hmm. speeds. I mean, you look at some of the pictures, you know, 5 years ago, you got dry land where there was ice chunks up there. I mean, this is a global issue, Ogma, and it seems like, you know, we're not doing as much as we need to do.
Right, and that's exactly why I wanted to bring that up, and that always leads me into my next topic, which is the Stop Line 3 events in Minnesota. Just here on September 1st, Stop Line 3 came to Chicago. They were down Jackson Boulevard on September 1st in Chicago to protest the Line 3 pipeline there. And I think that it's really important for people to realize that as we're seeing more and more of this ally support and allies from other areas, that this is not just going to affect Minnesota. This is going to affect probably a good portion of the Northern Hemisphere with the amount of carbon that this pipeline is going to release. But Chicago protesters began their rally in front of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers District Office, and they demanded that they revoke the regional permit. And they also called on President Biden to revoke the federal permit for the Line 3 pipeline. So that's really McGwich to all of you who were in on that event. And a crazy thing is kind of happening over in Wisconsin, everybody. Wisconsin Public Radio did this story. So apparently there's a bottled water proposal near Lake Superior. So there's a Duluth-based startup that wants to sell bottled water under the name Crystal KLR. What they want to do is sell water from a well near Lake Superior. So basically they're going to be selling Lake Superior water under a bottled water company. But thank goodness, a five-member appeals board for Bayfield County in Wisconsin, where their property is located, upheld the denial for the special land use permit because the water could threaten water resources in the region. It sounds like the attorney for that company, the two-person startup, is going to seek an appeal for that, claiming that they don't have jurisdiction. The Wisconsin DNR claiming they don't have jurisdiction. The Wisconsin DNR apparently doesn't have authority over groundwater wells and the permitting required to them, but it looks like they absolutely do. But it's really interesting to see that what's happening in Minnesota with Line 3 is that 5 billion gallons of Minnesota water was sold to Enbridge for a $120 permit. And it looks like this two-person startup was denied to be able to use a single well to bottle water from Lake Superior in Wisconsin. So we definitely have a difference in ideals here in the northern part of the United States.
Well, you can't
it's a win.
Trying, right? You know, they got to try and steal all the water and everything that they can from us. So and you can't blame them for trying, because that's what colonizers do. And we're sick and tired of that, and I guess that's why we have Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we have Chase Iron Eyes up next, and he's a fantastic a guest, and I saw him today with the squad here in Minnesota. So we'll be right back, Wendy, after this short break.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
In Minnesota, perinatal and postpartum mothers have legal protections to help keep them safe and healthy in the workplace. That means exclusions from heavy lifting, safe spots for breastfeeding, and more. The Women's Economic Security Act protects the rights of pregnant and postpartum women to work safely during pregnancy and to express breast milk at work. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry is here to help you and to protect your rights. Call 800-342-5354 or visit dli.mn.gov/newparents.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we're really blessed to have this guest on, Chase Iron Eyes, and he's Lakota, he's an Ogala, a warrior, and he's also with the Lakota Law Project and Pinigigi for being on, Chase. Thank you so, so much.
Hey. Good afternoon, good evening. It's my pleasure to be here. I was raised on the Standing Rock Reservation, and I'm now living on the Pine Ridge, where my father is from. And I just happened to be coming into the Minneapolis-St. Paul and the Line 3 area, and I was able to catch up with you guys today on the ground at the press event.
Yes, it was awesome, and Pinigigi for being on again. What was your observation today? I know you had a lot of good words to say for your stream, and could you let our audience here in Madison and Chicago and the Twin Cities know
what's
going on here?
You know, I ran for the United States Congress in 2016. I ran in a very red state. This was before Trump had won the presidency and before, a radical fringe was kind of given license by those forces, which are still seeking, really, to tear us apart. But I remember, now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she was supposed to be here, but she also went to Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. And 2 years following the 2016 election, this is when, Trump took office, banned all Muslims from flying into the United States, mm-hmm. continued to gin up his followers into chanting, build that wall. You know, this was the beginning of his rallies where they were assaulting anybody who opposed him. Talking about, you know, this brother, this black brother was just saying something oppositional, holding a sign up, and Trump had him carried out and said, you know, back in the good old days, we would have done a lot more. It just all these little dog whistle things And we were really recognizing that we were in for the fight of our lives and of our rights. And then along came the 2018 election. Now, not only did Sharice David and Deb Haaland, the first Native women to be elected to the United States Congress, not only did they win, but along with them came the people who were on the ground today. Now, that includes, I'd met Alexandria, Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, sometimes known as AOC in the media. I'd met her before, but today, and I paid close attention. I think everybody who tries to express or hold dear progressive values wants climate justice, wants a just transition into a regenerative economy, wants Medicare for all, wants student loan debt relieved, all of the powerful good things that bind progressive people today are alive and well and expressed really by the changing face of our democracy, of our democratic republic. So I was blown away that Representative Rashida Tlaib was in the House, Representative Cori Bush, Representative Ayanna Pressley. And Cori Bush is from Ferguson, Tlaib is from Michigan. And I believe that, I can't remember where Pressley is from, I want to say maybe New Jersey, but I don't want to get it wrong. And then, of course, Representative Ilhan Omar, and you've got to recognize and remember that these women are facing the brunt of old Christian heteropatriarchy, racist Christian heteropatriarchy, and the sort of voters, the sort of demographic that is most comfortable with a guy like Donald Trump being, you know, a racist lunatic in the highest office in the land. I remember Ilhan Omar getting death threats. I mean, every 9/11, they try to, I don't know, like, this radical fringe in our country just is, they will not stop. And I was able to ask a question about our country kind of being engaged in a continuous cultural war, a battle for the spirit of this country. And I think we all recognize that line three is connected to that struggle. I mean, George Floyd, his life was taken right here in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And this struggle to protect our birthrights and our constitutional rights, it is an everyday matter. It requires each and every one of us to wake up, to awaken, and to exercise those rights, because we truly lose those rights that we do not exercise. It was almost surreal. It's like one of those moments where you only see these people on TV or on the news shows with the pundits and the CNN and the MSNBCs during the mainstream broadcast. But it was an honor to be able to kind of go backstage with them for a little bit.
That's awesome. Chase, I'm going to have Lewis ask you a question in 1 second here. But I just want to say before this segment's over, we only got about 4.5 minutes left, is I just want to throw you out a personal and public Pinigigi. Thank you so much for all you did at Standing Rock from the beginning to the very end. I watched your posts and it kept me informed. And I just want to say, again, Pinigigi, that's why this show, Native Roots Radio, started, is because of warriors like you giving us the correct information and what was going on there every day. So, Lewis, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hey, Chase. My name is Lewis Eagle Thunder. I'm a citizen of the Shango Lakota Oyate. And I really want to honor your work and respect your work that you do. And I want to ask you something. You know, we have representatives back in South Dakota like Perry Poirier, and the state representatives, you know, trying to push legislation for MMIW. And when we think about the history of, you know, the Democratic Party, when they're interacting with indigenous people, Robert F. Kennedy going to Pine Ridge, etc., you know, to today, how do we amplify our voices to what we call established Democrats. I mean, I'm so happy to see the progressive wing of the Democratic Party really acknowledge us, but how do we push through to the establishment Democratic Party and say, you know what, we deserve a seat at the table? Treaty lives matter. What's your thoughts?
I think that's a great question, great insights and comments. I forgot to mention that Mary Kunish, of course, who's a regular appearance on Native Roots Radio every Friday, she's also with the squad, and all of these, and so was I, you know, are card carrying members of the Democratic Party, and the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, is the same, it's the same forces that fund, you know, from financial extractive industry that fund the elections of, we'll say, corporate Democrats, are the same forces that are funding the people in the Tea Party who are, for some reason, gleeful about supporting, you know, the fossil fuel industry or Wall Street or, you know, making sure that the ultra rich don't pay their fair share in taxes. Indian country and the indigenous nations, the indigenous people, we always have a very tough role. A very tough road because, on one side, there is now a very blatant racist radical fringe that Donald Trump exposed. I mean, a lot of people say that, you know, that it took race relations back 50 years or whatever, maybe 100 into another century. But, but the fact is that it just exposed that these are how, this is how our neighbors have thought all along. You know, since Obama became president, we all thought that we're making great progress. Well, it turns out that we are still very much challenged. And then even the party that put a black man in office, President Barack Obama, is the same party that is letting those 800 people who were arrested or who may have been brutalized by the Line 3 construction and the Northern Lights Task Force and all the other law enforcement is just letting them hang out to dry the same way that Obama did at Standing Rock. Obama didn't want to make a move. He said that he was going to wait and see how this plays out. And then the veterans came and that changed the equation. So indigenous nations always have to stand strong in our in original and inherent authority because we're older than this country. We're older than Canada. We're older than any of these parties. So that they can never fully, you know, represent us or encapsulate the spirit of our politics. But I feel personally that we can't, you know, by some sort of automatic venture, give all of our votes and our authorities and our representation to the Democratic Party. I don't think that's not the right move. I mean, maybe we should have a third party, or find a way to flex our vote much more than we currently are able to.
Thank you so much, Chase, for being on. It's Chase Iron Eyes. Pina Gigi, we've got to have you on more. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hi, this is Brian, owner of AirSeal Tech, Minnesota's premier insulation and air quality specialist. As the summer heats up, are you noticing that your home is uncomfortably hot and humid? Those issues can negatively impact your comfort as well as your health. AirSeal Tech is here to help by offering fair and accurate assessments of home comfort solutions with a no-pressure estimate. We can also help you save big money on your energy bills. Our goal at AirSeal Tech is to make you comfortable in your house and make sure the air is clean and healthy to breathe. AirSeal Tech uses state-of-the-art testing and diagnostic equipment to make sure we find the best solutions to make sure our customers are comfortable and healthy in their homes. Remember, if you're not testing, you're just guessing. As Minnesota's only Building Performance Institute Gold Star contractor, you can be assured of exceptionally high-quality service. Give AirSteel Tech a call today at 612-888-3664. Mention you heard about us on AM 950, and all testing will be absolutely free of charge. That's AirSteel Tech.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown. We're not just another print shop. We give back to the community and stand up for racial, social, and economic justice. At Minuteman Press Uptown, we understand Black Lives Matter and know love is love. We're the only minority-owned and proud union shop in the state. We're community involved and have over 100 years of industry experience. We believe our employees are vital to our success. That's why we pay a living wage with benefits.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I chose Minuteman Press because they match the values of our business. Their design team took our vision and idea and turned them into a beautiful, professional printed marketing piece on time as promised. They can help your business, nonprofit, or political campaign with printing, direct mail, signs, or other promotional needs that will help grow your organization. Call the printing company AM 950 Trust, Minuteman Press Uptown, at 612-870-0777 or find them online at mpuptown.com.
You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 950.
Do you believe in ghosts? Ever wondered if aliens from other planets visit the Earth? Have you ever thought about whether Bigfoot is real? My name is Greg Bakken, and on my new show, Ghost Box Radio, we'll have these conversations about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual, bringing together guests who are experts in these fields. Join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. for Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on AM 950, even if you're a skeptic.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Present. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Pini Gigi. Hey, Chase, are you still on?
I guess not.
Yeah, oh. I am still on.
Chase, do you want to introduce our next guest?
Yeah, I can do that.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the next guest is a colleague or a mentor. I say colleague as in co-worker, or we're both affiliates of the Lakota People's Law Project and the Romero Institute, but Phyllis Young is a Standing Rock citizen, enrollee or national, and she has been in the fight since the days of the American Indian Movement, since the formation of the Women of All Red Nations, and she resides in a place called Porcupine Creek on the Standing Rock Nation. She was also an appointed leader from the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe on behalf of the, you know, the Yacheti Shakoni during the stand with Standing Rock during the No Dapple resistance out there. So she's been around and she's still pushing. She's still doing all she can to work toward our collective liberation as Indigenous nations.
So that's awesome. I really appreciate you introducing her because I didn't want to miss anything, and she's one of the original OGs, so I really appreciate her being on. Phyllis, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Welcome. Welcome, Phyllis.
Here.
Yes, Phyllis, welcome, and we're honored to have you on. How are things going? And it's good to see you here in Minnesota, and good to see you today.
So I will begin with Chante Washte Nape Chu Zape. I extend my hand with a good heart. Mini Tashiawi Himachiapi. Na Mini Yuha Najiwi Himachiapi. I'm woman who stands by the water and woman who loves the water. Those are my given names by my family and my people. I reside on 107 miles of shoreline on Mini Soche, the Missouri River. I'm Hunkpapa Lakota and Ihunktua Dakota from my grandmothers, and I live on the river on Standing Rock. So I thank you for inviting me here.
Well, I want to say, Pini Gigi, thank you for all you've done for our people and amplifying our voices over the years. We're really big fans of the American Indian Movement and all the work that you've done over the years. And I know for us, Standing Rock was a really big turning point for us, and that's when we started our show here on Native Roots Radio. So it's an honor to have you on. What's changed and what's different and what's the same? Could you answer that, Phyllis?
Well, I co-founded it. First of all, American Indian Movement was born and founded here in Minnesota by the Anishinaabe, those who were against police violence. And in 1978, we co-founded the Women of All Red Nations, which is the arm of the female, the women's arm of the American Indian Movement. Mm-hmm. And we had to do that because of the sterilization issue. The chiefs pushed us to organize under the pressure that we were feeling from all directions. So we mobilized. We marched in 1972 in the Trail of Broken Treaties and took 20 points to Congress, including the American Indian Religious Freedom Act, Indian Child Welfare Act, education, health, and so we feel like we made a change. We were then became legal to worship in the way that we could, and that was the spiritual base that was lacking for three generations, and it sort of reinvigorated us as people with a spirituality that we revived. But we need amendments today, and we have to make those changes, but we have to be more internal, more unified, and continue in that way. But we have always been in a conspiracy to be free because of the domination and dehumanization, the doctrine of discovery, the papal bulls, the history that was brought here from Europe. And so it's always been a prevalent fight against genocide. And so at different times, you know, in the federal court system, we acknowledge what those institutional barriers are for our growth. And so we now know, because we've mastered the language and their way of life here and the dominance, to create racial structures. And so knowing that, understanding that, and how they along the way became very sophisticated, most sophisticated system in the world to use that against our people. So so we had a movement for 40 years under the American Indian Religious Freedom Act. We defied the principles that were against us, and we created our own cultural competency to incorporate and integrate as many of the cultural customary systems that were necessary for us to survive. And so the fight against the water has been against the government for the water was, you know, institutionalized, but it's been the doctrine has always been used to, you know, from the massacre at Wounded Knee to the criminalization of our people under the different laws that were created, Major Crimes Act. Mm-hmm. So we've had to fight legislative fiat. We have had to fight in the court systems, but we're still here. And mm-hmm. as Clyde Belcourt said in his book, and so we have come to terms with our own beliefs that are, you know, we are a universal people. Mm-hmm. We're a pluralistic society, and we have we have the fifth sense. We have a sixth sense, and we have a fifth dimension. So we've survived by those, and so I believe that the corporations, when they created their bodies and they petitioned for a president who was going to take us on and declare that we were terrorists when we were just defending our homeland. So Standing mm-hmm. Rock, we're sitting those people. And yeah. So the police violence, I mean, there were 40 policemen who murdered Sitting Bull. So it's not a new thing for us, for the police brutality. So fighting against that, the murder of Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull and all of the chiefs and the boarding schools that over 257 boarding schools in the United States. And so we're coming to terms with ourselves. We've taken mm-hmm. back for 40 years, and we now have to assume our own language. We've defied at Standing Rock. We did a declaration.
Mm-hmm.
And that declaration defies the doctrine of discovery and right. the papal bull that says that we are part animal. And the research that was done by the United States at every level, you know, Mayo Clinic here in Minnesota was perfected and made a premier medical facility on the bones of those who were hanged at Mankato. And they were only returned in the 1990s. So the incredible work, horrible work that was done under the noble guise of medicine and research, we have been that. And so now we're taking back, and even with this COVID, we're isolated. We have an isolated gene factor that we need to do more research on, and the Rh negative factor that we have in our belief system that we know we practice that you don't marry your relatives until after the seventh generation. So it's we have some unique DNA that we cannot allow anyone to take out the D, the N, or the A out of our bloodlines. We need access to some professional research to continue our bloodlines.
That's right. Phyllis, I want to say, Peeny Gigi, thank you so much for that history lesson and all you've done over these years. And it's so great to see you here in Minnesota. Stop Line 3. Peeny Gigi for being on.
Thank you, and we're demanding that we stop Line 3. So I'm here to support that, made a conscientious effort to be here to address the congressional delegation that came here. That's how critically important it is, and the treaties, more than one. We have 33 treaties with the United States as Lakotas and Dakotas. So several of them are Minnesota, and those are upheld by the treaty study that was done at the United Nations by and recognized under the Vienna Convention 62. So we're here to fully support and to help stop Line 3. So thank you very much.
Pinigigi, thank you. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit MN350.org.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, you missed us yesterday,
but
Maureen Hackett called in.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Maureen Hackett is the president and CEO of Howling for Wolves, and she works on, and the organization is helping to protect wolves here in Minnesota. So,
yeah, it was awesome.
That's awesome.
And she was at the Line 3 thing and saw us there and didn't want to bother us. But
it's great.
Yeah, it's great to hear. And so the show wasn't all that bad yesterday without you and Ogre. But it's great. It's Positive Friday. We miss Mary Kunish, but she's with the posse heading up north to check out Line 3. Mm-hmm. And what an inspirational show today.
Yeah, definitely. Two really strong, great guests.
Yeah. And now the pressure's on. What are we going to do?
The pressure's on.
Wendy, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do? I'm going to finish talking about bears.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish talking about bears. We have a few more questions and answers. If anybody's been listening for the past like three shows, I've been talking about bears and
the
this
trivia.
New York Times question and answer. So that's what we're going to be doing. So my name is Hana Jihihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, who is Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. And as always, Curtis, thank you for that name, and I really appreciate it. My What am I? I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level. It's always my pleasure to do this. But we left off on question number 14 on the bears, but this is not really a question or answer.
No.
But what this is a little bit about the how they differ, black bears and brown bears. And sometimes their coat, they say, is very hard to sometimes distinguish between the two. So a brown bear can be distinguished by their prominent shoulder hump, small round ears, and concave or dish-shaped facial profile, long claws, and blonde hair tips that gives them the grizzled or grizzly appearance. So that's what we want to, you know. And then the black bears tend to be smaller than brown bears, but if they're not standing next to each other, it's probably hard to tell, right, which one's bigger or smaller. Have tall, pointed ears, a straight facial profile, and no hump, and have short claws. So that's how we could tell the difference between the two of them. But that's, you know, pretty good to know, right?
All right, let's go with the questions.
Okay,
now, me
number
and,
16.
Lewis are going to be answering.
You're out hiking in bear country. All of the following are particularly dangerous scenarios. Which of the following is perhaps the most worrisome? Number one, a large bear seems to be stalking you. Two, the grizzly is feeding on an elk carcass. Three, a mother bear is grazing with her cubs. Four, your dog comes running towards you, pursued by a bear. So which of the following is perhaps the most worrisome?
I'd say the cubs, because they're very protective of their young. What about you, Lewis?
Yeah, the cubs for sure, because motherly instincts.
Yeah.
Don't copy mine.
What do you think? So the answer is a large bear seems to be stalking you.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, we both got it wrong.
Yeah, well,
they all
you
seem
know what? I
bad.
Did. I thought the
Yeah, they all seem terrible, Wendy.
I know, they are, right? They are bad. But I did think the same thing because of the motherly instincts and how strong the moms are to protecting their cubs, but only about 5% of bear attacks are from predatory bears, but an attack by a lone predatory male black bear may be the most common cause of fatal black bear attacks in North America. So we need to, you know, if a bear is looking at you for its next meal, you better, you know, do something about it. Okay, here's another one. Here we go. If you're camping in bear country, you've suspended your food 12 feet off the ground, you've set up camp away from trails where bears are most likely to travel, experts also advise all of the following precautions except... Okay, store clothes with food stains in a Ziploc away from your camp. Keep scented items like sunscreen, bug spray, or toothpaste out of your tent. Sleep 1 or 2 feet away from the sides of your tent. And finally, zip your sleeping bag tightly around your head in your tent. So what if all of these things you should do except one of them? Do you have any idea?
I don't think you want to zip yourself up if you know, to give the bear a chance to just claw you up without fighting back.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like a breaded fish fillet in my mind, you know, that to a bear, I'd imagine.
Well, you know, you're right. Zipping your sleeping bag tightly around your head is the worst thing that you can do, because they have a sense of smell, and if they get you, you want to fight back. Exactly what you said, Robert. So
instead
good.
Of getting eaten like a burrito. A person burrito.
It would be like a burrito. You're the meat of the burrito.
Yeah,
I know.
Or the cheese or whatever.
So you've learned a lot about bear safety, and you're feeling somewhat confident. You decide to take a trip to the town of Churchill in northern Manitoba, Canada, the self-proclaimed polar bear capital of the world. In recent years, dangerous encounters between people and polar bears have been increasing, decreasing, or staying about the same. What would you say?
I'd say staying about the same. What about you, Lewis?
I'd say increasing because of climate change.
Ah.
Yes, the answer is increasing. Polar bears are the largest and most powerful type of bear in North America, feed almost entirely on seals, and generally avoid confrontation unless they are threatened or very hungry. But attacks remain rare. But they are increasing. You're exactly right. Exactly.
It's interesting. Right. In Ho-Chunk, the bear clan are usually our policemen and officers. So whenever we have a event, they call the bear clan in to facilitate unruly people or the possibility of unruly people. Mm-hmm. So that goes deep, and it's interesting that, you know, we talk about this in your segment all the time, is that how sacred animals are to us Native Americans.
Exactly, Robert. Exactly. While you're in Churchill, you're planning to head out of town for some Arctic hiking and camping. In addition to bear spray, which of the following should you include in your provisions? One, an electronic early warning system, signal flares, a battery-powered electric camping fence, or all of the above?
All the above.
All of the above.
I don't know if it's just me, but that's a lot to carry.
That is a lot to carry, but the correct answer is all of the above. Tom Smith, a professor of wildlife science at Brigham Young University, has studied human-bear conflicts for close to three decades, and he recommends bringing it all with you to stay safe.
Well, we need to stay safe. That was fun, Wendy.
Yeah.
It was great to stretch it out.
Have a good Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, really. And I want to say, wow, Pinigigi to Ogma for the news, Lewis for all he does, and that great question to Chase Iron Eyes. And we want to really give a special thanks to Phyllis Young, who has been a warrior for many, many years and has really made us all proud. And, of course, thank you, Pinigigi Wendy, for all that you do and your sacred animal section. It was fun today, but it's always pretty serious, too. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated.